Romans chapter number 4. I got everything cut on, guys. Not cut on, okay. I think I accidentally cut it off. All right, I'm good. Romans chapter 4. I think a lot of things are fuzzy because of extra meds this year and last year, but I really don't think I've ever done what I'm about to do. In that sense, I don't ever think I have bookended a year. And by that I mean revisiting a passage that I started the year with. And I just so strongly felt led the last 10 days to do this. And so we're gonna do it. Part of the reason I don't want to feel lazy. I don't feel lazy. I feel like this is an emphatic amen as we embark on a new year and all those things. So I want to encourage us there. But if you would, Romans chapter 4, and I want to get at us. Verse 18, Romans 4:18. Stand with us if you would. We pay honor to God and His Word. Romans 4 in verse 18. The Bible says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." We're in the Abraham part of Romans. And we're figuring out that God said Abraham was not justified because of I made a covenant with him. In other words, one way, Abraham responded to that promise in faith. And his hope was that God could do exactly what he said. And the sign of that hope was that his wife of old age would have a child. So when we read seed, we're not talking about something you grow a fruit or a vegetable with. We're talking about his children, his lineage. To this point, he'd had none. Verse 19. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb," her body. The fact that biologically, this should not be able to happen. I remember the first time the news reported someone in their 50s or 60s had a child, and people remarked and people gasped, and some were bewildered. And can you imagine, though, someone in their late 90s or in their hundreds becoming a first-time mother? Verse 20, the Bible says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he," that is God, "promised, he was also able to perform." And so I want to bring you, Lord willing, a message. And again, we'll be back in Philippians soon, about hope, not just in the new year, but hope in the next year. And I think you'll see where I'm headed in just a moment. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I'm excited. Let not my excitement overrun my ability to communicate. May I preach your word with power and authority. May I encourage us from the word. But more than that, would you encourage us, Holy Spirit? Speak to every heart. May we hear, understand, and obey. Father, David Allen said in his address there, Lord, it was posted online, he said, "We suffer from a lack of application." So one of my prayers in 2021 is that the folks under the sound of our voice, the folks that hear the word preached, that they would hear, understand, and obey. They would apply the word. So may we not be hearers, but doers. And Father, I pray that our relationship with you and conversely the word would be paramount, would be of great importance in our lives. Father, speak to us. Help us. May you be honored and glorified. Focus my thoughts, Lord, and I pray that you get glory and honor from what's done. We pray it in Jesus' precious name, and amen. You can be seated. Hope in the next year. And what I did, and when I titled this almost 12 months ago, was I entitled this "In the New Year." It was significant to me because that was to be the first time that I had spoken in almost 4 weeks. End of middle of November of 2019, I contracted what would be called a mystery infection. The rising toxicity levels from the medicine they gave me, coupled with the fact that I had almost no immune system, the infection came and it would not go away. Round after round of antibiotics, peaking with a 102 and upwards of a fever. Only thing I had on Thanksgiving Day, only thing I enjoyed was two or three bags of ice surrounding my head, trying to keep my fever down. We flipped some medicines on that Friday. And that Friday, actually the fever kind of went down, but it was the lull before the storm. By that Saturday, my regular doctor had called me at home after having seen me on that Wednesday and said, "You need to get to the ER." I said, "I don't want to go on a holiday weekend." He said, "You have to go." When we went to check in, I said, "I don't want to be here. It's a holiday weekend." And thankfully, we had not only didn't have to suffer too much, but when you look as bad as I did, they went ahead and took me kind of quickly. And that started 8 days as a resident of Park West Hospital. And that's how I spent the first, the end of November and the start of December. And when it came out, I was out of cycle in my medicine, my treatment, and where I had tolerated some things. When I went back in, particularly the vinblastin, just decimated me. And by the end of December, walking on my own was about done, getting out of a chair without help. And I started rehab in January to be able to get out of a chair without a... When I'd gone through all of it, finally was able to in service, I was thrilled. Brother Chad had done such a good job of helping us, and we were thankful for him. And so when I stood the 12th, I'd had two ER visits, followed by the third ER visit that kicked off 8 days. The rising ascendancy that was attacking my muscles had finally reached my throat. And I was still able to swallow, but my speech was about to go as far as having any kind of voice. And so when I stood the 12th of January and said, "I want to talk to you about having hope in 2020, I assure you the message was much more for me than it was for anybody in the crowd, because I was as uncertain about what was ahead as I'd ever been in my life. I'd had one good scan, but everything else was sideways. And as I look back at my notes, I want to say with 2020 kind of in the rear view, I still believe everything I preached January 12th of 2020. I still believe every promise that I'm about to unveil to you. Truth of the matter is, and I looked, and it was kind of not hilarious, but I kind of looked, we survived the Australian fires. We survived a high school student discovering a new planet. Apparently, it really upset some people that that Prince Harry and his Meghan Markle bride, they made their exit from the royals. It really kept me up at night, but anyway. Astronomers say a star went missing. They don't know what happened to it. We survived the Tiger King. An East Tennessee phenomenon, no doubt. And we survived the Tiger King. We survived the broom challenge. We survived the fact that for a moment or two, Poland accidentally invaded the Czech Republic. They say it happens all the time. I don't know how you accidentally invade anybody. But they invaded, then they apologized and left. So that sounds more like the Swiss apologizing for invading. But anyway, and we survived that. There was a puppy that was born with green fur. Excuse me. We had, before we ever had COVID-19 come from China, we had everybody getting mystery seed packets from China. Anybody remember that? People getting seeds all over the place, and they didn't know where it was from. And it's from from China. I hope it didn't have, hope that wasn't COVID. We survived civil unrest. We survived Kim Jong-un passing away and then coming back to life and then being in hibernation and who knows now. We survived the murder hornets. We survived people being pro-mask, anti-mask, pro-this, pro-that. Everybody right and nobody listening. We survived probably some of the oddest times in our country where we were not at war. If you think about it, especially some of you with a little gray hair, when have we ever turned on a dime and not been, quote unquote, at war? We've been fighting a war in the Middle East for a couple of decades, but so many odd things. So many odd things. Truth of the matter is, I went back and I looked. I had to find it. We survived, by the way, fires out in the West. We survived assassinating an Iranian general. And I went back and looked at the stories, and people said, this is the start of World War III. This is the worst thing that's going to happen this year. That was in January. I wish I could talk to those people now. Amen. We have been sequestered. And then the hilarious thing, again, I looked at about 20 news summaries. Most hilarious thing was if you'd invested in toilet paper stock, you'd have come out okay this year. Because man alive, we thought, again, this is the problem of public education, I suppose, that the best way to fight a virus was with toilet paper. I still don't understand it, but anyhow, I'm glad, and we smile and we smirk, but and here we are. Well, I want to suggest to you, I don't have any idea about 2021. For all I know, Jesus is coming this afternoon. That'd be fine with me. Somebody say amen. But I know we need to stay busy. We're going to encourage you in the next sermons and next media releases and next times. I encourage you, really trying to encourage you to make sure that you're engaged. I am probably every pastor I know is concerned so many folks are unconnected right now for all kinds of reasons. And I really try to be careful not to be sarcastic or smirky or anything like that. I see so much of that online and hear people say I'm not remotely interested in that. But if you can't assemble for whatever reason, you still need to be engaged. We gotta be together. We gotta hang out as a family. We gotta be accountable to one another. We need that. Everybody needs that engagement and that encouragement. I tried to get in to see Miss Johnson this past week, and I'd gone to a doctor visit and was swinging by there, and I thought maybe I can talk my way in. Anybody ever think if I catch the right person, I get somebody to bend the rules? Anybody besides me think that way? If I catch the right person and I look pitiful enough, maybe I get in and see her. And so I caught the right person, and she listened, and she said, no, absolutely not. No, 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 no. And I said, well, can I walk around the room? You can't get into the courtyard. I said, I'll still be outside. She said, no. And she looked like she could take me, so I just left it alone. And so I said, well, just give her a message and all. And I said, you know, this is... And she said something, and she said something, and I said, you know, that's the problem with some of this. It's just so cruel. It's cruel that we're not together. It's cruel people aren't with their family. It's cruel these folks in assisted living hadn't had a hug and who knows when. There's a cruelty to all this. And I said, I want her to know she's loved. I want her to know her church family loves her. And will you tell her that and let her know? And she said, well, I'm sure she... I said, please, please do. And so now I know what I need to do. I need two people. I need one to distract the guard and one to... You know, and we need to do that. So when we're talking about all this, man, my heart's full because I can look back at 2020 with absolute certainty and say, number one, none of this took God by surprise. And number two, all the promises that we discussed and looked forward to, we can look back on and still say, God is absolutely in control. God is absolutely faithful. And you can absolutely have hope in the new year or the next year. Let me offer these to you from the text here, and I want to give them, I hope you'll take good notes. Excuse me. Dr. Euland, again, we've used this in our series. We're going through Philippians. Biblical hope is the confidence that God is able to do what he says, and the certainty to have to trust his character. God can do what he says. He can make it happen, and the certainty to trust his character. The songwriter said it a little more eloquently. You can trust his hand and his heart. He is good, we said last week, to us, not because we are good back, but because God is good. He loves us because of who he is, not because of what we do. You can have hope. You can have confidence. You can have confidence. I'm not trying to summarize everything everybody struggles with, not remotely, not at all. But I can tell you that hope starts not with a full bank account, not with a full refrigerator or a full freezer. It doesn't start with all the laundry done. Excuse me. It doesn't start with a new contract at work. Hope starts with my confidence in the character and of God and the ability that, or excuse me, the ability that God has to carry out what he says he will do. That's where hope begins. Hope is vertical long before it's ever horizontal. And we're here in the text in Romans chapter 4. Everybody still with me? So let's look back and let's look ahead and let's cling and hold on to these promises. Number one, hope is fueled by the conviction that God is able. Hope is fueled by the conviction that God is able. And if you're using the app, you can see these notes here. Romans chapter 4, don't miss it. Who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations. Verse 21, being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. If I would ask you what's the biggest thing in your life right now, I assure many of you it is not a physical thing. It is an emotional or a mental thing. It staggers us. What we feel, what we fear. I've mentioned it on and off through the year. I don't know if ever in my life, my adult life, ever seen larger groups totally captivated by fear. I don't remember it being like this after 9/11. And you couple that with the loss of confidence in media and in leadership, elected leadership, unelected leadership, the county health board around here. And you just have a maelstrom of emotional mess. I don't blame anybody. I just think it's awful. I offer you a different solution. Get your fuel, get your hope, because you have the conviction that God is able. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. From the very get-go, God is in charge and God is active in the world. In the very beginning, God is promising to Abraham, to Melchizedek. God is promising to Moses and to David. And God is carrying out what he said that he would do. Brother Jack, Wednesday night, reminded us that he gave Daniel a calendar into the very months. God was right on schedule to send the Messiah, even though for 400 years there had not been a prophet of God. God is able to do exactly that and to have that conviction. There's a Southern Gospel song that says, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. And it's a catchy tune, but it's awful theology. Because it's not God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. It's just God said it, and that settles it. And my belief affects me. It doesn't affect God. And so when we're talking about this, my hope is fueled this way. Can you think of a more impossible situation than a 100-and-some-year-old lady having a baby? This was the sign. Number two, hope is rooted in the assurance that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. I was going through my cartoons, newspaper cartoons. That's It's best thing in the newspaper. Anybody, you know, sports isn't good, especially the teams I'm pulling for right at the moment. And sports isn't good, and the headlines are kind of funny. But there's reading Peanuts always makes me feel a little better. I glanced at one Friday or Saturday, maybe it was Saturday, I was just catching up and I was reading through it. Lady said, "Boy, you're doing great. You're coming into work where everybody's staying home. I remember this come review time." And the guy said, guy had a little thought bubble. He said, "I'm not really coming to work. I'm just trying to escape my family." And is there anything more awkward than a long afternoon of people that are fairly passive-aggressively angry with you? Ugh. Making snide comments. You thinking, no jury would convict me, not you, but other people who are watching. Are you thinking this way? Can you imagine going through life, and again, some folks it doesn't bother, some folks it bothers you tremendously, and some folks it's you. You're the instigator. But to go through life knowing that you're not right with God. One thing that's hallmarked our ministry, Andre and I were discussing it this week, it's hallmarked what we've seen here is people who have broken their heads, it seems like, to find a life of joy and happiness while staying in rebellion against God. Not only does it work, it never will work. You were not meant to be at odds with God. You were not created to rebel against the Creator. You were created to live in harmony with Him. And hope comes from that assurance that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You're in Romans chapter 5. We'll read just a couple of verses here. You still with me? Say amen. Verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Excuse me. God changes our vertical relationship. God changes our horizontal relationship. We now have grace, exactly what we need, that we desperately needed but could not possess, that God has accomplished through His cross and resurrection. We now rejoice because of what God has done and what God is doing and what God will continue to do. Verse 3, it changes our outlook on tough times. Not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience or endurance, endurance, experience, hope. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Greatest counseling ever. One of the greatest counseling potions and recipes ever. To be right with God enables me to handle the affairs of life and to experience the difficulties of life, and to have hope that regardless of my circumstances, that God not only is working it out, but has already worked it out. It is rooted and grounded in the assurance that we have peace with God. Growing up in Eastern North Carolina, regular occurrence was to have a hurricane or two. And if it was depending on what the name of the hurricane was, my father would cleverly say, "It's not a hurricane, it's a himicane." I'll let you think about that for a moment. Dad said they were all, if he was feeling his oats, he'd look at my mother and say, they all should be named after women. Mom occasionally would take the bait and say, "Why is that?" "Because they're unwanted and they're full of hot air." And then Dad would sleep on the couch. And I'm messing. He did like that joke, though. My brother and I were too scared to laugh, and somehow my mother's going to find out I told it so. You'd see trees topple. There'd be enough water, there'd be enough wind. We were far enough inland, it typically a little bit of problem with flooding, depending on what was going on. That was a percentage. But if you saw something damaged, it was where a tree fell over. And invariably someone brilliantly would say, "Well, it just didn't have very good roots." When the affairs of life change, when the murder hornets and the COVID and the quarantine and the confusion and the political chaos. My hope is not rooted on what's leading online on the news or what the anchor person says on CNN, praise God. It is rooted in the assurance that I have peace with God and the hostility is over and He has given me and equipping me what I need to face every day and to be ready for the day when I stand before Him. Hope is rooted in the assurance that we have peace with God. People should, I'm not saying we should not have qualms or concerns. I'm not remotely saying that. These are uncharted waters, at least for the last 100 years. I'm not saying you're not real spiritual if you're nervous. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying you have a greater resource than a doctor, a vaccine, or the evening news. Somebody say amen to that. And that is the fact that you have peace with God through what Christ has done. And He is greater than any problem, storm, difficulty, or situation that will come your way. I say again, number one, hope is fueled by the conviction that God is able. Hope is rooted in the assurance that we have peace with God. And there's so much in that passage there. But then number three, hope is nourished through the encouragement of the Scriptures. Go to Romans 15, verse 14. Romans 15, 14. Romans 15, 14. The Bible says, "And I myself am persuaded of you, brethren, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness." A really odd expression here from Paul. "Filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." You can speak into one another's lives. In other words, you, because you know the Scripture, are equipped to help others. Equipped to help others. I'm thrilled that the United States has an unbelievable record number of epidemiologists. I say that smiling. I hear everybody, you know, knows everything, and I go talk to my doctors, and they say nobody knows anything. And I'm like, I told him last time, I said, "I don't want you to say that anymore. I want you to just lie to me. Don't tell me no one knows anything." He's like they don't. Anybody says differently is lying to you. I said, "The CDC, they're just making good guesses." I said, "I felt a lot better before I came to the doctor today." And he laughed and walked out. And I say that kind of with a smile, kind of not. But when we talk about this, I want us to know everything we can about all the situations that are going on. I want to know where I'm investing my money. I want to know what Consumer Reports says about the washing machine before I buy. I'm all for that. But what we need to know is the Scriptures. What we need to know is the Bible. What we need to be a part of is a group that encourages that. What we need to do is be in the Word. And some of you that have been trying to go through the New Testament in 30 days, you found out, boy, your heart has exploded as God has taught and reminded you of things. And others of you, as you're finishing up your Bible program for the year, you are so thrilled. And if you are listening or under the sound of my voice and you feel empty or lacking inside, I can almost assuredly tell you, you have a word problem and not a worry problem. You have a word problem and not an external circumstance problem. When you are anchored in the Word, then you're able to do what? You're encouraged and nourished, and then you're able to give it out into others. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in his season." Psalm 1 has always been the key. Psalm 1 and 2, the two facing pages of the same book there. The opening, introduction, the outline for Psalms, the outline really for life. How to be blessed is to what? Is to be in the Word of God. I'm dumbstruck. I'm dumbfounded. I'm overwhelmed, overwrought. Person after person, pastor after pastor, conversation after conversation, social media post after social media post. I've not watched a service. I've not listened to a service. I've not been in the Word. One of our speakers Wednesday night was just so transparent. It's just so easy to not watch it all I didn't watch. I didn't read. And to be in the Word, I have encouragement. I have encouragement at our house. Again, I'm being just a little personal for a point. At our house, I think we've kept every card, we've kept every note. I know I've kept every text and every email. We just, I'm in a big box, big basket there, and I'll grab a handful and read through them. Feel discouraged. I was feeling pretty low the other day and struggling, and got a note from Cuba. I felt a little better. Holidays just kind of messing with my emotions, and people that had passed away, people that got sick while I was sick and died while I've been going through this, multiple people. I was kind of fixated on them for a minute, just thinking about their family, thinking I felt so insufficient to minister to their family because I'm alive and their loved one is passed. And here's something from Brazil. Here's a box in the mail. They pat you on the head. I'm not saying pat me on the head. I'm saying if you caught the note of encouragement, everybody in here was nodding at me. Well, that's great. You got a note, you got a call, you got an email, you got a mail, you got a box, you got a package, you got a whatever. I can do you better than a call, a piece of mail. I can do you better than a box. I can do you better than a surprise visit. I can do you better than any of that. To know the Word is to receive unbelievable encouragement. To study the fear nots, to study the promises of God, to look at the person of God. When our men's group's been going through the attributes, the characteristics of God, and we can just every week, man, we just feel it, man. It's look at who God is and how amazing, man. It changes our outlook. To be nourished in the Scripture is to receive encouragement that you can give to others. And finally, hope grows by the power of the Spirit. You're in Romans 14. Just go another page there. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to experience hope and peace and wants to empower you to do that. I believe this is one of those things you could pray every morning. Holy Spirit of God, help me to experience your hope, the confidence and certitude that you can do all that you say you can and that I can trust your character. God, help me to experience it. Help me to do it. And it grows by the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the pleasures of journaling or writing or keeping some notes in your phone or whatever, when God answers a prayer, when God does something unexpected, you can do that. You can go back and look at it and say, look at what God has done. So that's what it did. Three months ago, I still couldn't stand like this. 3 months ago, I couldn't barely talk more than about 20 minutes. My voice was toast. I'm still pretty tired pretty quickly, but we'll go on. We started the year as a church in financial free fall. Couldn't visit. Truth of the matter is, a lot of people who said they were going to take on some things weren't around. And we were not only dropping balls, we were missing opportunities, and so many were doing so much. So interact with guilt, not understanding what was going on. That's when the governor and the president and everybody was going, you got to shut it all down. That's when we looked at the treasures and said, go spend it dry. If we're sending 50 to missionary, we'll send them 100. If we're sending them 100, we'll send them 200. We'll empty the treasury out, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to tell anybody, but we'll either give or we won't give. We'll either go or we won't go. And I can't do any more than I'm doing. And I'm heading into radiation. I don't know what that's going to do to me. We'll see where we are. And I think God smiled at the little church in the big part of town surrounded by all kind of people and said, boy, look at their faith. I think that'll be fun. And so God just started blessing. God just started dropping in some guests. God started helping some people get reacquainted. We launched our men's groups that have been such a tremendous blessing to our church. Some of you wear the burden to pray, and you get together on Sundays at 10, and you pray together, some of our ladies' groups. And God began to work through some things through, and I don't want to detail everything. But God, as I watched all this, and again, I say all this to say, there's no way Rodney gets any credit from any of this. Because I've been sick, and I've been unable. I've done a little more in the last 2 months than I've done all year. But God gets the credit. Why? Because we had to lean on His Holy Spirit to see anything happen. Let me help you. Let me encourage you. In 2021, if it's going to go, if it's going to grow, if we're going to see people saved, it's going to be because of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It won't be because anybody's clever enough. It won't be because anybody's creative enough. My inbox is full of people trying to tell me how to do ministry in the new normal. The problem is none of them know how to do ministry in the new normal. Let me give you a little clue. We're going to preach the Word of God. Somebody say amen. And we're going to take real time to pray. And we're going to do our best to apply the Word and to encourage one another and hold each other accountable and to love on one another and try our best not to let people slide out. We want to nourish and encourage them and let them know that there's life and there's help and there's hope because of what Jesus Christ has done. And to the downtrodden and the discouraged and the defeated, He's altogether lovely. But hope grows by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Reoccurring thought. So I pray for Keith and Andrea and sound techs. Pray for the musicians. We can have a technically flawless service. You still with me? We got 3 cameras, mics, MacBooks. We got all kinds of cloud-based services. We're still trying to find a filter to make me look skinny. It's just too expensive. William Shatner filters. We can have technically perfect services and no power from on high. And I mean it sincerely. But I'd rather everything go sideways and it be obvious that we were experiencing the power and the presence of God. And we leave not just going, man, that was a good recitation the pastor did. But we leave going, boy, God put His finger on something in my life, and I need to go out and rejoice, or I need to go out and pray. I need to go out and minister. I need to go home and get rid of this. I need to, when we are comfortable with sin, then we are not experiencing the hope of God and surely not the power of God. 2 thoughts, and I'm done. Number 1, you'll never experience the wow of hope and peace until you experience the woe of repentance. I have all kinds of things. Again, I won't. 2021 is not going to be personal time. I really have tried not to do that, but it just fits. I have all kind of squeezy things, little trumpet kind of deal. I've got a Arnold Schwarzenegger hand exerciser. I got squishy little eggs. I've got rubber bands. I got all kind of things trying to help my hands. get back, and then I have marbles. Oddly enough, hard to find. And I have marbles, and so I pick it up with these fingers and these fingers and these fingers, and I try and pick it up with my pinky finger, and I keep doing that. It's trying to reteach my muscles and my nerves to do that. If I can start doing that, then maybe I can start buttoning up and all. Yeah. So if you walk into my home office, I got marbles everywhere, and I'm playing with them. Thinking, it's a good thing we pay him a salary, but it's part of my therapy. I've also had to get some of these games on my tablet that's hand-eye coordination. I got a ring toss game. I'm 50 years old and trying to throw a ring on a stick virtually. Because I can't stand up straight enough to throw it on a ring somewhere else. And last time I threw something, I broke something. And so it's not a good idea. So I'm doing that. I got a game where I'm shooting aliens. Beep, 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 beep. And I've tried to find them where you don't have to have ads. So I'm playing this game the other night, and all of a sudden this ad comes on, and it's for an unbelievably outrageous premise, and something about lust and scantily clad women. And I'm sitting there going, what in the world? And I report it, this is offensive. And anyways, I don't see it for a few days. And one day this week, I was sitting there, I was trying to get my hands to work a little bit. So I'm doing a couple of things, and the thing pops up, and I show it to Andre, and I go, maybe, I promise I'm not trolling stuff at night. She said, can't you? I said, I need to find something else. I said, but all of these games that seem like buy their ads from the same people, you know, and I need this. I said, I'm going to have to do something else. I'm not putting up with this. I was embarrassed, and then I got real happy. In fact, I sat there. I had two emotions at the same time. I was real happy, and I was real mad. I was real mad this goofy mess was on my computer for a second. I was real happy that it still upset me. My mom called me in a fiery rage. She said, Hallmark's ruined Christmas. I said, I've known this for quite some time, Mom. She said, there's two men kissing on my screen. Said, cable is out. I'm getting an antenna. I'm not doing this. I'm not paying for this. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm so sorry, Mom. She was mad, and then she was mad at me, and I didn't understand what I had to do with it. And she said, how do you hook it up? I said, well, we'll get it. Your sister can help you. My brother can help you. But she said, I can't believe it. Ruined Christmas. I hung up the phone. I thought, Mom, if you only knew what's been going on out there. Hallmark's just late to the party. Anything and everything over the airways. We need filters. We need protection. We need confidence. Technology is a wonderful tool, but it sure is a lousy master. When we don't blush, when we're not bothered, we got a problem. You'll never experience the wow of hope and peace until you experience the wool of repentance. And you say, well, I don't see anything wrong that you've said everything you needed to say. Not what you or I think about anything, is what God has said about the subject. God settled it, and that settles it. God desires our best for us. I want to say more, but I'm done. Your hope is only then limited by your view of the character of God. God is immutable. He never changes. God is all powerful. Every source of authority and power that is has come from Him. It's either given by Him or delegated by Him. It's not even right to say God and Satan. They don't belong in the same sentence. There's no yin-yang. There's no God and anything. It's God. It's not even a period. It's God and an exclamation point. He is omnipotent. He is everywhere present, the past, present, and future. God never travels anywhere. He's never been anywhere. He always is. God never had a beginning. God is the self-existent. He is He is the one who created everything, but himself is not created. So that hurts my head. Good, you're starting to understand. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is all-knowing. Does it ever occur to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God doesn't need my help. Nothing hard or easy for God. When you expand your biography of God, your hope for life in the future grows monumentally. May I encourage you in 2021, as you read the Bible, that you look to learn about God and let it encourage you. Say, preacher, 2020 was a very bad, no good, rotten year. All years without hope are no good, very bad, rotten years. Somebody say amen to that. But with God and in God and through God, every day there is hope. Not because of what's going on, hear me, but because of who He is. What you see when you look back at 2020, I see a faithful God. What do you see as you look in 2021? I see a faithful God. The days and the months will change and the circumstances will change. And I got news for you. I'm pretty sure the aggravation level is going to go way up. But God does not. And I can have confidence in who He is. Someone took a riff on Mark Twain's little quote, doing the same thing the same way and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. One pastor said, doing the same thing the same way and leaving God out and expecting it to turn out right is the very definition of insanity. I can leave God out of my relationships. I can leave God out of my planning. I can leave God out of my party. I can leave God out of my daily routines. But somehow, some way, you just kind of broom it all and fix it and make it right. That's not only not biblical, that's nonsensical. God is not the relief pitcher in your life. He is the sovereign Lord who deserves your worship. And the quicker we bow the knee of our lives to Him and give Him our all, the more we begin to experience the grace and the hope and the peace that He has afforded to all who put their faith and trust in Him. Hope for the next year is found in the person, character, God. Would you pray with me right now?